Hey, this is Greg Hickman with Mobile Mixed, and you're listening to Marketing to Crush Your Competitors podcast. Crush, dude!
Marketing to Crush Your Competitors podcast, episode 34.
This is the place where successful entrepreneurs share their hustle to get where they are today. Discover how not taking no for an answer led them to achieve their goals. Learn about who inspired them and how they use marketing to crush it in their business. Get financial, spiritual, emotional, and physical tips that are working for them right now. This is the Marketing to Crush Your Competitors podcast. Here's Fabienne Raphael.
Hi, All Star Team, and welcome again to Marketing to Crush Your Competitors podcast. Today, I'm very pleased to introduce my guest, Kate Erickson. Kate is the content creator and community leader at Entrepreneur on Fire. As content creator, she authors the blog, creates guides and resources to help inspire and encourage entrepreneurs, manages the email marketing campaigns, and creates content. As a community leader, she gives encouragement, support, and focused engagement to the Fire Nation community across all platforms, both online and in person. Kate also leads Fire Nation Elite, their mastermind tribe, and Podcasters Paradise, their podcasting community. And Kate hosts a podcast, Kate's Take, the Entrepreneur on Fire audio blog, where Kate shares exactly what she knows about what it takes to become a successful entrepreneur and exactly how her lessons learned, tips, and advice can help you take the next step towards living your dream. Kate, welcome to the show.
Bobby, and you make me feel so important. Thank you so much for that stellar intro.
Well, actually, I said a little bit about you, Kate. So if you want to take a few minutes to tell us more about you and what you do.
Absolutely. You know, you covered what I do right now very well. I work with John Lee Dumas over at Entrepreneur on Fire. We are a team here. He is the podcast and idea guru, is how I like to refer to him. Mm-hmm. And I kind of handle the content and the marketing side of things. So, you know, I think we're very lucky to find a happy medium where his skills and expertise are best utilized. And the same for me. I think that's very important when you partner with someone in a business, is to really recognize and leverage your best skills. And I think John and I do that quite well. And I guess outside of Entrepreneur on Fire and Kate's Take, my podcast that just launched, which you mentioned, I live in San Diego, very close to my family, which is awesome. I love it here. We live right on the bay, so enjoy spending lots of time outdoors. And also, I would say I'm a recovering corporate-aholic. I started out in corporate, just like probably many of us can say, and it's a tough transition to entrepreneurship. It's not something that I ever thought was going to happen. Of course, I had some far-reaching dreams of being my own boss, but I wasn't really sure what that meant. And so I'm very happy to be exactly where I am today, because I couldn't ask for anything more.
Basically, you would not wish to go back to what you were doing in corporate America.
I would definitely not wish that.
During the time that you were, having more responsibility, being an entrepreneur and doing stuff for your own and being your own boss, I guess you had to face some challenges and people saying no to you to different things. So how many times, Kate, did you not take no as an answer?
Gosh, I would say probably pretty much every day I don't take no for an answer from myself, Fabienne. And I say that just because as an entrepreneur, we run into so many roadblocks. And when you kind of manage a lot of things yourself versus being in corporate and perhaps having other departments and coworkers that you can lean on, as an entrepreneur, that's taken away from you in a lot of respects. I mean, John and I are very lucky to have systems set up where we have virtual assistants, and we have very great relationships with a lot of professionals in a lot of different areas, websites and design and all that good stuff. But, you know, there's a lot of stuff that we still handle on our own. And of course, you can run into several roadblocks. I've many times told myself, you know, Kate, it might be time to kind of give this up. You're not getting anywhere. You're not getting the answers you want. You're not, you know, reaching the goal that you're hoping for. And I say that to myself, and then I tell myself that I'm not going to accept that as the final be all end all. Because if you do that as an entrepreneur, then you're going to struggle with growing a successful business. So I would say oftentimes I am not taking no as an answer from myself.
And you mentioned something about working it through and being a hard worker or a hustler then. So I would ask you, do you think that sometimes it could be a disadvantage as an entrepreneur to be a hard worker?
Wow, that's a great question. I'm not really sure that I can see a situation or a circumstance where it would not benefit you to be a hard worker. I think that hard work, dedication, motivation, a relentlessness, I guess you could say, are all attributes and tributes that I think can very much add to an entrepreneur's journey. And if you don't have those things, I think it's going to be very easy for you to do the opposite and take no as an answer all the time, in which case I don't really feel like you're going to get where you want to go if you're willing to accept no as an answer.
You mentioned a little bit before that you and John actually surrounded yourselves with a great team in order to be able to manage your stuff more productively. How would you say that you manage your time effectively, or, you know, like make your productivity the best that it could be?
It's really tough to do that because, especially coming from corporate, and I'll refer back to this a lot just because, as I mentioned in the beginning, you know, I a lot of times struggle with that transition still, because in corporate America, you have a very set time schedule and you have set deadlines that are coming from different people. And when you're an entrepreneur, you're setting your own deadlines, and it's a lot easier to push stuff when you know that you're the person you're answering to versus pushing stuff if you're answering to a higher up manager or a client, because, you know, as they should, they're not going to accept no from an answer from you. And so I guess I would say that, you know, managing your time and your productivity as an entrepreneur becomes a lot more difficult than it would be in a situation where somebody else is managing your time, albeit a very huge advantage to manage your own time if you have the right tools. And some of the tools that I use to manage my time best are the Rescue Time app, which is an app you can install on your computer, and it will track the amount of time you spend on your computer in different programs. And it kind of reports back to you. So either on a daily or weekly or a monthly basis, you can open up this app and it will tell you exactly where you're spending your time. So I rely on Rescue Time a lot to help me efficiently manage my time, because if I'm spending more time in programs than what I think is necessary, then I know I need to kind of go back and readjust how I'm handling my tasks. And I also like using timers. I use timers a lot. There's a, you know, a lot of very simple websites you can use to set timers for yourself. For example, if I'm going into social media, I know that that's a very important part of our business and it's important for our community engagement, but it's also easy to get sucked into social media and spend maybe more time on there than is necessary. So I'll set timers for myself when I'm doing those types of tasks that are important, but that I don't want to overextend my stay, I guess you could say.
And I know a lot of entrepreneurs also struggle with the emails, a lot of emails coming in. And when an email pops up, the curiosity to go check it like right away and answer. So how would you say that you manage that?
That's so true. It's such a great point that you bring up, that email is probably one of the deepest black holes you can get into, because it's tough to stop once you get there. I like to set up specific times when I'm in my inbox. So instead of having it open to where I can see emails coming in or notifications that I might be waiting for, I'll actually go in and bring myself to inbox zero in the morning, in the afternoon, and at night. And one tool that I really love to use is called Boomerang. It's a plugin for Gmail. Do you use this, Fabian?
Yes, I know this one.
Mm-hmm. It's an amazing, amazing app. So what it does is it allows you to schedule your emails. So you could write an email now but say you don't want to send it until later this afternoon, you can go ahead and schedule that. And you can also have emails come back to you. So if you have a lot of emails in your inbox that you know you don't have to handle at this second, you can go ahead and boomerang them and they will come back to you at the time that you set. And this really helps, I think, in a lot of ways. I mean, it helps me manage my schedule better because I can return emails at a later time so that I don't have to have them kind of weighing on my mind right now if they're not urgent. And then I think it also helps when you schedule emails out because a lot of the times, and I'm guilty of this, I think we're all guilty of this, if you email somebody and you hear back from them right away, it's almost like an open door for you to go back and forth with this conversation, right?
Right. About that.
And it's almost, it can be treated like text messaging a lot of the times. When you get an immediate response back, then you're then inclined to, you know, email back again. And it can be a very vicious cycle and it's very time consuming. So I really like the schedule out feature because that way, even if you do want to respond to an email right away, you can go ahead and take care of that correspondence. You can respond to it, but go ahead and schedule it to go out maybe a few hours from now, so that you don't open that door for that, you know, endless conversation that just keeps ping-ponging back and forth.
And then again, it relies back to what you said earlier, Kate, about putting a timer on a task that you have to do. Because if you, let's say you put your timer at 1 hour to do, to write something, and then you receive an email and you start like sending emails and then getting a response back and then emailing again, then you're losing time on your timer.
Absolutely. Yes, this is so true. And that's why another thing that I like to do, especially when I'm setting timers, like you've just given an example of right now, is if I'm working on a task, I want that one task to have my absolute full attention. Mm-hmm. And, you know, closing out your other windows, minimizing things that you don't need to be distracted by. I know it's so tough. We have such easy access to so many different programs, to our cell phone, to, you know, any number of things. But minimizing those distractions really helps me as well.
And you're much more productive and creative.
Absolutely.
So since you had worked in marketing and advertising in the corporate America, I'm curious to know, Kate, how are your marketing strategies different now for your own business than when you were working for corporate America?
Gosh, I feel like you learn so much every day as an entrepreneur and the way that you speak differently. You know, John, a lot of the times has to kind of bring me back from my corporate speak. And it's tough to get used to, you know, Entrepreneur on Fire. We're very, you know, serious about what we teach and, you know, how we inspire people and how we communicate with our audience. We are very passionate about that. And, you know, we like to have more of this laid back, very approachable way about us because that's how we are. Mm-hmm. John and I are regular people that, you know, hang out on the bay and go for runs. And we're learning just as much as our entire community is every single day. And, you know, sometimes for me, I can kind of get stuck in that corporate where in advertising and marketing for like B2B companies who were advertising to other businesses who were maybe a little more proper about the way that they did their advertising, who maybe weren't as out of the box thinkers as we're allowed to be as entrepreneurs and our own boss. You know, all of that has kind of tweaked the way that I look at marketing. And there are absolutely best practices and principles that I've carried with me. And I would say don't really ever change for anybody in terms of marketing and advertising. But the way that you execute those things are very different. So it's definitely been a learning curve and a process for me. And I'm loving every step of it.
So could you give us specific examples of marketing strategies that you use to make your business grow right now and that are working for you?
Well, I would say like email campaigns is a great example, I think. We have a couple of campaigns that we run that are more or less interest campaigns. And I would say for us at Entrepreneur on Fire, a lot of those interest campaigns might revolve around a product or service that we currently offer. So for example, if we have somebody that comes to us through an opt-in or on social media and expresses interest in Podcaster's Paradise, then we will want to kind of guide them into this campaign that we have that will drip content over a specific period of time. We'll tell them more about the community. We'll provide value to them by way of podcasting information and resources. And of course, our hope with a campaign like that is that we will provide them enough value and give them enough tips and enough information about our community that they would eventually want to join. And I think that a lot of people kind of miss out on that. I don't know if this is a great term for it, but maybe like that honeymoon period where somebody has just kind of come to learn about a product or service that you offer. And I think a lot of marketers and entrepreneurs, especially if they're kind of maybe hungry for that sale, will tend to think that somebody just expressed interest, so they should push the sale on them right away. And I kind of like to take a little bit more like long-term approach to that. I really want to try to build a relationship with this person who has expressed interest in our product or service, because I want them to know about Entrepreneur on Fire. I want them to know about myself and John. I want them to know about how we built the community. I want them to know about what the community has to offer them. I want them to understand the value in the community and what it can do for their business or, you know, for them personally. And then after they understand that, and after they've come to know, like, and trust John and myself and Entrepreneur on Fire, then I want to invite them into our community. You know, everybody's different. Some people are ready for the information right now. And so even though they might have just found out about us, they're ready, like they want in. But I understand that there are other people who might be a little bit more hesitant. Podcasters Paradise is a big investment, and we definitely understand that. And that's why we started doing our weekly live webinars, because that is also another way for us in terms of, like, if you think of a campaign that's stretched out over maybe like 5 or 6 weeks, and then you kind of replace that with like a 1 hour live webinar where this person is online with John and myself, they're interacting with John and I, then that period of them getting to know us and getting to know about the community might be a little bit, you know, quicker and better for some people. So we take a couple different approaches to that type of marketing strategy, and both of them have worked very well for us.
Well, you said something very important and interesting about focusing on long-term relationship with your customers, audience, listeners, readers. And I think that's very important, because sometimes if we focus too much on the transaction, you know, as you say, if you're a pushy seller or a pushy marketer and you try to make the sale right away, you might sell, but then the client won't come back afterwards. Mm-hmm. So if you develop that relationship, as you said, well, the person has time to know you, trust you, and as you said also, understand the company, understand the community and everything. So whenever they're ready to buy, they will buy. And then if they're ready to buy again, or if they have questions concerning something else, well, they might come back to you.
Absolutely.
Even though you've been working in marketing for a long time and you're still doing marketing for Entrepreneur on Fire, are there things that you still struggle with concerning marketing?
Definitely. There's always kind of, I think, that gap where we know that we're reaching our target audience and we've, you know, defined our avatar and, you know, we know who we're talking to with specific things, but just because you have an avatar and an audience doesn't mean that every single thing you come out with is going to be, you know, focused or geared towards them, even if you think that in the beginning. And I think maybe a good example of this is when I first came on board with Entrepreneur on Fire, one of my first big projects was to launch our blog. So before I came on board, we weren't doing a blog. John would just have the show notes to go along with the Entrepreneur on Fire podcast episodes. And I launched our blog, and I launched the blog talking to the same audience as the podcast was talking to. And in a lot of respects, yes, I was reaching the same audience. They were looking for the same type of information. But I think what I failed to realize until I was able to kind of take a step back and really look at, you know, putting the content out there and then learning from the reactions or the feedback that I was getting really taught me that the people I was writing for weren't necessarily the same people that were listening to the podcast. Mm-hmm. And so because John and I have really diversified what we have to offer at Entrepreneur on Fire through different podcasts, through our blog, through our different products and services. You know, we always are kind of shaping and forming those things for who we think they're for. And, you know, a lot of the times we've failed in the process. But, you know, again, I'll go back to the blog as a good example. The way that I write on the blog now is very different from the way that I wrote on the blog when I first started out, because I've now come to know exactly who I'm speaking to through the blog. And so I'm much better able to, you know, create that content knowing who's on the other end of that. So I think that that's a, you know, something that people face every time they come out with something new. I mean, you create it for who your avatar or your audience is, and you're going to need to expect that, you know, you might have to adjust that along the way, depending on the feedback that you get.
And once again, Kate, you said something very important. Being an entrepreneur, we need to try things. And actually, the first time you tried it out, you figured out, oh, okay, so that's not the right way of doing it. Let me try something else. And sometimes entrepreneurs are blocked by like thinking too much or paralysis, or and then they don't act, they don't do anything. So basically the best thing is to take action and then see where it goes. And if you need to adapt, well, you do so.
Fabian, awesome. I love that takeaway, because I think that's so important to really focus in on, especially like you said, as an entrepreneur. You know, we tend to get held back thinking, well, what if I put this out there and it's not right? And it's not the right thing, and it's not the right people looking at it, and it's not perfect, and it doesn't bring in sales, and it doesn't bring in opt-ins. But all of those things that you say what if to, you're never going to know that until you put it out there. And the only way to take that next step forward is to put it out there, and then you pivot and you adjust if you have to.
So Kate, do you have a marketing book that you would suggest to the LSR team?
You know, I really love Gary Vaynerchuk's Jab, 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 Right Hook. Mm-hmm. It's based a lot on relationships and social media. I don't know if you've read this yet.
Not yet.
Okay. It's really a very awesome book. He gives lots of real life examples of people who are using strategies and such on social media. I think it hits home for a lot of marketing tactics and techniques that I believe, like we were saying before, building that relationship, giving to your community before asking, et cetera.
Now I'm interested to know, Kate, your personal definition for success.
Wow, my personal definition for success. Well, I'm going to have to steal this one from John Lee, because he quotes this quote often. And I believe that success is your continued realization of a worthy ideal, meaning that success isn't a destination. It's not something that we arrive at and then we say, okay, I'm done. It's something that we continue to strive for, and we continue to better ourselves in, you know, realizing what it is that is important to us and what it is we're here to do. And that's my definition of success, is continuing to, you know, open your mind to what that might be and continuing to head in that direction.
That's very well said, Kate. So is there anything else that we have not covered and you feel that you want to share with us?
Gosh, I feel like this was full circle. Very awesome. I don't think I have anything else to add. I've shared a couple of resources and some tips and advice with you. So thank you so much for having me on. I had a blast.
Well, it was my pleasure. But before you go, Kate, tell people where they can connect with you.
Absolutely. So you can find me over at eofire.com. If you just put a backslash on that and then type blog, so eofire.com/blog, that's where you'll find all my written content and also where you'll find Kate's take.
Yes, and you got to listen to that. I've been listening to your podcast. Thank you for the great tips.
That's so awesome to hear. Thank you so much. I'm glad that you're enjoying it.
And I also wanted to say that I'm a member of Podcasters Paradise, and I'm very thankful for that community that you and John created, because it's a great community, very helpful, full of entrepreneurs with lots of valuable information to share and different expertise. And we all have podcasting and wanting to connect in common. So thank you so much for that.
Thank you for being such a special part of the community. You know, it's really our members within that make it what it is. And we're so grateful for gosh, now the over 1,300 members that we have in Podcasters Paradise. So thank you for being a part of it.
That's great. So thanks for being on the show. It was my pleasure to have you here.
Thank you.
This was another episode of Marketing to Crush Your Competitors podcast. First of all, I want to thank all of you who took the time to leave a rating and review on iTunes. I really appreciate it. Actually, it motivates me to keep going, invite some more experts, some more people, and share great information for you to crush it with your marketing. And then I want to invite you to go on marketingtocrushyourcompetitors.com to learn how to get more customers by applying this one strategy as a marketing weapon. So you go there right now, marketingtocrushyourcompetitors.com, and you get your bonus. So I'll talk to you soon, okay? Take care.